If you don't know, I am Pastor David. If you're new here, my name is Pastor David. I am the youth pastor here at Chapel Valley. And last week and the week before, we actually had Pastor Susie preach. And this week and next week, I'm going to be up here. So if this is your first time here, welcome. It's going to be me next week as well. But last week, Susie actually spoke on a message that was titled, Why Jesus? Everybody say, Why Jesus? Why Jesus? And the thing, there's a lot to cover in that message, but the thing to remember from that message that we're carrying over for this week especially is going to be that when you follow Jesus, it's going to cost you something, right? Do you guys agree with that? When you follow Jesus, it's going to cost you something. It can cost you things like your reputation. It can cost you things like your free time, your friends, your family even. And these are all things that can cost you. And so when you first bring it up, it can be kind of scary. But I've actually met some people, mostly actually youth students, if I think about it, that have said things like, you know, I follow Jesus. I don't really feel like it costs me too much. I kind of just go to church on Sunday when I want to. And then, you know, I go throughout my week however I want to. I pray here and there. I read my Bible. I don't think it's really costing me too much. And to those people, I would just say that I would encourage you to consider that you have not yet experienced the best that God has for you if you feel like it's not costed you anything to follow Jesus. Because the truth is, I believe that we serve a jealous God, right? Which means he wants your time, he wants your attention, he wants your devotion, he wants your worship because he deserves it. And in return, when we give that to him, we are walking out in our identity in Christ. Amen? And we get to experience life to the fullest in that regard. I've talked to some people, again, a specific youth student I remember that was kind of struggling when it came to they're about to graduate and they're kind of trying to figure out what they're going to do with their life moving forward. If they wanted to go to college, what kind of career path they wanted to go on, et cetera, et cetera. And so when I had talked to them, you know, I realized that they were kind of talking about just the next season of life, and they didn't have God anywhere in those plans. So I wasn't trying to encourage them to go into ministry or become a pastor or anything, but I was just asking simple questions like, have you thought about what you're going to do on Sundays? If you're still going to keep up going to church? If you're still going to, like, get into your Bible when it comes to all the time you're going to have to sink into your studying and things like that and your social life, where does God fit into all of this? And they told me, well, I just want to be a normal Christian. And I'm like, well, what does that mean? Especially nowadays, what in the world does a normal Christian look like? And they're like, you know, just things like I go to church sometimes when I want to, or like Easter and Christmas probably. I'll pray. If you were to ask me if I believed in God, I would say yes. But that's kind of as far as I want to go. And how many of you know that Jesus wants us to be either all in or all out? Do you guys know that? We read in Revelation 3, he told the angel to write to the church of Laodicea that you're neither hot nor cold, you're lukewarm, and therefore I spit you out of my mouth, right? It is a rejection at that point to be lukewarm. Either you're all in or you're all out. That's why 2 weeks ago, Pastor Susie actually preached, you can't just try Jesus, okay? He's not like what I like to do where I sign up for a bunch of free trials and then cancel at the last minute. He's not like that, okay? You're either all in or you're all out. You can't just try Jesus. And so that's just a really, really quick recap of everything that we've kind of been going through recently. But this week, I am obviously speaking. And for those of you that might not know, whenever I speak, I always start off the exact same way, praying to the Lord and asking him, what is it that you want me to speak on this Sunday, right? What is it that you want me to be focusing on this upcoming week? And so I had done that, didn't really get an answer. And then at 3 a.m, I woke up, couldn't fall back asleep, and distinctly heard the Lord say, do you trust the Lord? So that's the title of our message. Our message today is, do you trust the Lord? Now, as soon as you say that, you might be thinking, like, I know where this message is going. I'm going to feel guilty, or this is going to be like a charge against, you know, like, do you really trust the Lord? There might be a little bit of that, but I would encourage you to just stay tuned in. And this is actually a really good message that focuses on all the different dynamics in our lives that we all deal with, okay? Nobody is excluded from the things that we're talking about today. So the message of the title today is, do you trust the Lord? Now, that's a really generic, broad statement, I feel like, but you can break that down into the specifics of everything that we deal with in daily life, as I had just mentioned. Do you trust the Lord? Do you trust the Lord with your finances? Do you trust the Lord with your time? Do you trust the Lord with your healing? Do you trust the Lord with your heart, right? There's tons of different areas that you can actually walk in. And I would say, myself included, that I can walk around and say, I trust the Lord with my time, but maybe I don't trust him with my finances. Maybe he feels like I'm actually supposed to be giving a specific gift or an offering to him or a certain ministry. And I'm just like, not right now, Lord. My air conditioner just broke. We're paying that off, which is actually a true statement. I had no idea how expensive AC units were until ours broke. And I was like, this is the worst. And so depending on the pressure that comes onto our lives, it can be a different answer on the different areas that we trust the Lord, if we're all in or all out, right? That's a real thing. So do you trust the Lord with your finances, your time, your healing, your heart? There's so many different areas that we can trust him. If we're not trusting the Lord, though, I would challenge you to think that means that we are putting our trust in something else. That means that we're putting our trust in things that we may not even consider being bad things, right? It can look like we're putting more trust in things like our career or our government or our friends or our family or doctors. I'm not saying don't go to the doctor. I'm just saying when you aren't trusting the Lord, you can put more trust in earthly things. And I think the reason that we do that subconsciously is because we are familiar with them. I'm familiar with my friends. I'm familiar with my family. I know exactly how they act. I know the things they're going to tell me. I know their strengths. I know their weaknesses. I'm familiar with my job, right? I know exactly what's coming when it comes to a certain paycheck. I can kind of make plans around it. I can budget around it. I'm not that familiar with my doctor, but I kind of know when I go the kind of things that might happen. He's probably going to prescribe me something. And so there are things I'm familiar with and therefore feel more comfortable putting my trust in. And when it comes to the Lord, I think sometimes we can get off track and feel like we don't necessarily know what's going to happen if we put our trust in him. We don't know what's going to happen if this health problem that we're dealing with that's been bothering us forever and we've prayed about and we feel like he said that we are going to be healed, but it hasn't manifested itself yet. We don't know what that's going to look like or when that time's going to come. We could be in a financial situation where we need provision in that time, and the Lord's saying, I have you, I am providing for you, just need to trust in me, and we don't know what that's going to look like. We don't know if he's just going to send magical money out of nowhere. We don't know if a check's coming in the mail. We don't know what it will look like because we're unfamiliar with his ways sometimes. And so I bring that up to say that if you feel like you're in a place where you're not sure if you trust the Lord in A, B, C, D, your finances, your health, I would encourage you to just challenge yourself and realize that it may be because you're putting your trust in something else that you're familiar with and you know rather than the Lord. And the exciting part about that is we can actually become extremely familiar with the Lord. We can know the Lord. We can know his ways. And so when it comes to him asking for our trust in things like our finances, our health, fill in the blank, we can be in a spot where we know his heart and we know him so well, we're in his word, where we actually are familiar with it, and therefore trusting him is 10 times easier. Does that make sense? It's almost like a math equation, which I hate math, so I hope I actually did a good job explaining that. I think it can be something where we know the Lord and we trust in his ways more so than what we deal with in our everyday life. Now, I am eventually going to use this Bible, which I'll get to. But if you have your Bibles, you guys can turn with me to Jeremiah 17:9 if you want. But this is going to be extremely quick, okay? Jeremiah 17:9 says this. It says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it?" So when we look at the Bible, I consider this to be truth. And when we learn the truth that the heart is deceitful above all things and that nobody can understand it, it can be challenging to consider the fact that we're asked to trust the Lord with our heart, right? We are asked to trust the Lord with our heart, and then his word tells us that our heart can be deceived, that it can be deceitful. So how is it that we're asked to trust in him with something that can be deceived? Well, the answer is actually found in Proverbs 4:23 through 27, which will be on the screen, but it says this. Above all else, or I'm sorry, in ESV, it says, "Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life." Verse 24, Put away your crooked speech and put devious talk far from you. Let your eyes look directly forward and your gaze be straight before you. Pander the path of your feet, then all your ways will be sure. Verse 27, do not swerve to the right or to the left. Turn your foot away from evil. Now, I bring this up to say that in my time of getting closer to the Lord, I've shared this testimony before, but I was basically challenged by Pastor Susie, actually, to consider the things that were influencing or going into my heart at a specific time. Your heart is influenced by the things that you take in, the things that you watch, the things that you listen to. It can be as simple as movies and music, or it can be as complex as the people that you're listening to and the influences in your life, right? Those are all things that can influence your heart. That's why his word tells us that our heart can actually be deceived depending on what goes into it. And then just as we read in Proverbs, we find out that from our heart flows the spring of life. Now, this isn't going to be up here, but the NIV says it in a way that I really like. So listen to this. This is, again, Proverbs 4, 23 through 27. This is the NIV. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. And then it kind of capitalizes on the way that you can guard your heart. Keep your mouth free of perversity. Keep corrupt talk far from your lips. Let your eyes look straight ahead and fix your gaze directly before you. Give careful thought to the paths for your feet and be steadfast in all your ways. Do not turn to the right or left and keep your foot from evil. These are ways that we actually guard our hearts. And this makes sense because it tells us in his word that we can experience things like peace from God. And it says that the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So that means that when we are actually conscious of what's going into our hearts and we are guarding our hearts of those things, the peace of God that nobody really fully understands but is available for us, the peace of God will protect our hearts, guard our hearts, and then with that protected, guarded heart, we are asked now to trust in Jesus. Circling us back, we are asked to trust in the Lord with our hearts. Proverbs 3, 1 through 5, it says, my son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. So if you read that from the beginning, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. It says, if you do that as a promise, it is not a temporary thing or a season where you get to just experience his peace and love. It says, for length of days and years of life and peace, they will add to you. What will add to those? His commandments that you're keeping in your heart. Do you see now why it's so important to be guarding your hearts and minds? It is extremely important to be guarding your hearts because then it is so much easier to put your trust in him with your heart. Romans 15, 13, I know we're doing like a lightning round of scripture, but just stay with me. Romans 15, 13 says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. I think what I like the most when I read this is that it tells us what's going to happen in the process of us trusting him. It says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace. Who wants to be filled with all joy and all peace? I think every person in here should want to be filled with all joy and all peace. You will be filled with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. That means all of those things that we started this message with when we're walking through those different seasons and obstacles in our life with wanting to trust our finances more, or our education more, our government more, our friends more, our family more, whatever it may be, we are actually asked to trust in the Lord instead. And when we do that, we are filled with all joy and all peace. It's scary to think about that because I think sometimes we've tried to trust in the Lord temporarily or for a little bit in our own ways, or it's going to happen in the way that we have it in our head. And then when that doesn't happen, it almost feels like this scripture is a lie. And it comes into full fruition that he is then actually asking you to continue to step out in faith and trust him, even when your circumstances and what you're seeing isn't panning out. That makes sense, right? So these questions, do you trust the Lord with your finances, your time, your healing, your heart, etc.? Really, all of these questions come down to what I believe is saying, Do you trust the Lord for who he says he is? And so if you don't know who he says he is, that requires us to be in a place where we are familiar with him. That requires us to spend our time doing things like we're doing right now, worshiping him, getting to know his word, getting in his word, spending time in prayer. It requires us to know him a little bit deeper. I have a few friends that are skeptical about the Lord. Some of my closest friends are definitely here at church with me and they're Christian, but also I have a lot of close friends that don't know the Lord at all. And they know I'm a pastor, they know I believe in God, and they're definitely the ones that are the most skeptical about it. And they'll do things like say, well, how do you know that God is real? Or I was going through a time where I needed healing for something, and my friend was like, just go to the doctor and get this medication, it'll work. I'm like, I prayed about it specifically and was told not to go. I'm not one of those people that avoids the doctor, but if the Lord tells me to do something instead, I'm gonna do that instead. So I was like, I prayed about it, I know healing's coming. And he's like, well, how do you know that's coming? How do you know you're gonna get healed? How do you know the Lord is gonna come through? And I think my favorite thing was that there's times in my life where I feel I need to know everything when it comes to the Bible or education in order to debate or challenge people. And then there's times where I realize the actual truth, that the Holy Spirit can guide my tongue and my words in those moments, and it's for the better. And when he asked that question, like, how do you know this is going to happen? I distinctly remember it was like it just popped into my head from the Holy Spirit. I was just like, I don't know. I'm trusting that it's going to happen, right? He's not asking me to know for sure that it's going to happen. He's asking me to have faith in what he said is going to happen. Does that make sense? That makes a difference too. He's asking us to trust and have faith in the things that he said is going to happen. Because the best part about it is when that happens, we get to say, I don't know how it happened. I just know that God made it happen, right? All the glory goes to him. None of it is on us, and it actually makes room for us to only be able to give credit to the Lord. I think it's a beautiful thing. I really do. Now, when I have faith that he's going to do what he says he will, it can set the stage for Jesus to come through and for his name to be glorified. I'm going to say that again because we're going to read a part of scripture where this happens. When I have faith that the Lord is going to do what he says he's going to do, it sets the stage for him to be glorified. Does that make sense? We see it happen in his word. So this is where I would encourage you to turn right now. We're going to be jumping a little bit, but you're just going to stay in Matthew, okay? You're just going to stay in Matthew. And I'm smirking and I'm laughing because I am currently pulling out my brand new Bible out of its box. I got this Bible. I've had it for maybe 5 days. And Pastor Jay got a Bible recently, maybe a couple months ago, I don't know. And he's been carrying it around in its box. And I would always make fun of him for it. Why do you still have the box? You have the Bible, it's all good. He's like, I don't want it to get ruined in my backpack. I'm like, ruined in your backpack? It's a book, just put it in there, it's gonna be okay. And for the last 4 days, I have refused to throw this box out because I realize how nice my Bible has stayed since I got it and kept it in the box. So I have my Bible up here. I have my box up here. And if you have your Bible, please turn with me to Matthew 4. We're starting in Matthew 4. So Matthew 4, verse 23, okay? This is Matthew 4, verse 23. This is right before the Sermon on the Mount. Okay, this is finishing up the chapter of Matthew 4, and I want you to realize what it says, okay? This is shortly after we kind of realize that Jesus is starting his ministry. If you don't know, Jesus was tempted in the wilderness by Satan, and after he went through that and stayed on the word and stayed strong, his ministry started. This is shortly after that, okay? We read in Matthew 4, starting at verse 23, that he went throughout all of Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction among the people. Verse 24, so his fame spread throughout all of Syria. Everybody say fame. His fame spread throughout all of Syria, and they brought him all the sick, those afflicted with various diseases and pains, those oppressed by demons, those having seizures and paralytics, and he healed them. Verse 25, and great crowds followed him from Galilee and the Decapolis? Thank you. And from Jerusalem and from Judea and from beyond the Jordan. Okay? So I pause and I include this as context because Jesus was not doing ministry in secret and not known about. When he was teaching and when he was going around and miracles were happening, word got around. Okay? Shortly after this, we have the Sermon on the Mount happen. If you don't know, we don't have time to cover it all, but we actually had a series where we went through the Beatitudes, and it's covered in the Sermon on the Mount. But Matthew 7, verse 28 through 29, this is shortly after he's done with the Sermon on the Mount, okay? It says, "And when Jesus finished these sayings, the crowds were astonished at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one who had authority." Everybody say authority. As one who had authority. So they recognized that this was not just some crazy person that happened to be good at teaching. They recognized this is a teacher that's different from what we saw previously. This is different, and even says in this verse, not as their scribes. For he was teaching them as one who had authority and not as their scribes. So Jesus is recognized. He has a Sermon on the Mount. People know him. They recognize that he's doing these things, that he's recognized as a teacher with authority. And then comes the part that we are focusing on, Matthew 8, 5 through 13. Matthew 8, 5 through 13. "When he had entered Capernaum, a centurion came forward to him, appealing to him, and said this, 'Lord, my servant is lying paralyzed at home, suffering terribly.' And he said to him, 'I will come and heal him.' But the centurion replied, 'Lord, I am not worthy to have you come under my roof, but only say the word and my servant will be healed. For I too am a man under authority.'" Everybody say authority. "For I too am a man under authority with soldiers under me. And I say to one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it." So the centurion just asked Jesus, the one who has been having all of his fame spread throughout, who's recognized as a teacher with authority, centurion asked Jesus, "I have a servant laying at home who is paralyzed. He needs healing." And Jesus actually responds in that moment, "I'm going to come and heal him. I will go with you." Centurion tells him, "No, only your word is good enough. Just say the word and he will be healed." And so this is Jesus' response to him. Verse 10, "When Jesus heard this, he marveled and said to those who followed him, 'Truly I tell you, with no one in Israel have I found such faith. I tell you, many will come from east and west and recline at the table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, while the sons of the kingdom will be thrown into the outer darkness. In that place will be weeping and gnashing of teeth.' And to the centurion Jesus said, 'Go, let it be done for you as you have believed.' And the servant was healed at that very moment." Everybody say, at that very moment. The centurion believed, and it says the servant was healed at that very moment. It doesn't say when the centurion got back, he witnessed this and then came back and told Jesus like he was astonished. It doesn't say that any kind of time had passed. It says in that very moment. Why? I believe it's because the centurion showed the faith that Jesus was who he said he was and was going to do the things he said he would do. He said, "I will heal him," and he did. As I said before, when we believe that Jesus is who he says he is, when we believe that Jesus is going to do what he says he's going to do, it sets the stage for Jesus to be able to glorify himself. I don't know about you guys, but I want Jesus to be able to glorify himself in my life. In multiple aspects. I want to be able to see Jesus move not just on a Sunday morning, but I don't know, in the middle of my work shift when I'm actually talking to one of my coworkers and something in real life comes up, like they're like, "Oh, it's been a really hard week. I'm going through this, this, this." I want to be able to pray for them and have a miracle happen. Those are the kind of things that I want to happen. And in order for that to happen, I need to believe that Jesus will do what he says he will. And I need to be able to trust the Lord. Amen. We need to be able to trust the Lord with our hearts. I have this written down. I literally just in my notes, it says iPod testimony. So now I have to share this. Because this was a time where my faith was challenged, and it meant a lot to me, honestly. So when I was 18, maybe 19, I was in our internship for ministry. And it's funny because that doesn't feel that long ago to me, but I had a cell phone and I had an iPod and I carried both of them around with me in my pockets. That tells me that is a long time ago. For those who don't know, there was a time where you needed both an MP3 player and a cell phone if you wanted to listen to music constantly. I didn't have the luxury of being able to load it all onto my phone and listen to music whenever I wanted. So I would carry around all the time, every single day, my iPod and my phone. And we ended up going in this internship. We ended up going to a conference. It was a ministry type conference, and it was in Michigan. And we left, and shortly after that, for those who don't know me well, I'm like notorious for losing things. I lose things all the time. I've gotten better, but it still happens. Back then, I was very bad. So when we got back from Michigan, I lost my iPod, and I just immediately was like, yep, it's gone. Like, I know it's gone. It's gone. It's done. Now I got to save up for a new one. I was an intern that only worked 15 hours a week, so I wasn't making much money at the time. I didn't want to spend whatever it was at the time, $300 for an iPod. I don't know. But I was a little bit discouraged, and I remember telling Pastor Tim at the time in our office, I was like, yeah, I lost my iPod. And he was like, well, just pray about it, and it'll come back. And I was like, no, it's gone. I didn't even entertain the idea of it. In my ministry internship to my senior pastor at the time, I was like, no, I'm not going to pray about it. It's gone. And he was like, I would encourage you to do it. You never know. It could come back to you. And I was like explaining it away, telling him, God doesn't care about my iPod. He probably wants me to spend money on something else, like whatever. It's gone. Just don't worry about it. So I didn't. And then I went on about my life for, I don't know, I think it was like 6 months, 7 months, something like that. Still didn't have no iPod. And then I remember whatever sermon we listened to recently in our internship, it was challenging faith. And it was challenging repentance, okay? So it was encouraging us to repent of times that we didn't believe in his faithfulness for us. And I was like, great. That's exactly what I'm going through. That's definitely for me. So I decided, okay, I'm going to do this. And I actually prayed and said, Lord, I know that you are a provider. I know you wanted me to pray about this. And I specifically didn't. And so I repented that I didn't trust in his faithfulness, okay? I confessed it, repented. Within that week, got a message on Facebook from somebody that went to the church of where the conference was. And he messaged me and he's like, hey, is this yours? And I was like, yeah, that's my iPod. How did you know it was mine? It was a kid in summer camp. He was about like the same age as me. He remembered I was into death metal at the time. And he was like, I was looking through it. He goes, I was looking through it and there was a bunch of death metal bands I knew. And he was like, there's no one that goes to my church that listens to death metal. So I figured it was yours. I was like, that was good detective work. I'm proud of you. He knew it was mine simply from the bands and the artists that were on the iPod. And so I tell that story to say, like, I repented. I told the Lord I was sorry. I repented that I wasn't believing in his faithfulness. And shortly after that, he actually was able to step in now that the stage was set and glorify himself in my life. Because now when I tell that story, I can tell people, yeah, it would not have happened if I hadn't have prayed about it. 6-7 months went by, and then I pray and repent of the times that I didn't believe he was faithful, and within that week, I get one of my possessions back that I refused to pray about. You can't tell me that's just a coincidence. That was a really, really small thing in my life where God got to show himself really big. Does that make sense? And so if he's able to do it then, it sets the stage for me to be able to trust in him for the really big things. You're with me, right? There's another time that I believe, I think I saw probably God heal, I don't know, it's not like the most miraculous, but I think I saw like the most pure form of somebody just believing that somebody could be healed, and then it happened. So it was kind of like a pure faith moment. And this was when we were going to winter camp at the time, and I think I was still in the internship, I don't know. A lot of crazy things happened when I was an intern, I'm realizing. And we were getting ready to go, and Pastor Jay had asked me to show up early at his house, and I got there, and we were drinking coffee at the time, and Isaac, if you guys have met Isaac Jennings, is he here? He is. Hi, Isaac. I'm telling a story about you. I'm sorry. He was much smaller than he is now. I don't even recall, honestly, like, how old he was, but I do know he was, like, a toddler, because what had happened was I was in the living room, like, playing with Isaac with, like, a ball or something. He would do that with me now, actually, probably. We'd have a lot of fun. But that was entertaining enough for him. And we were playing. I was waiting. Jay said he's just got to shave and brush his teeth quick, and then we can leave and get on the road. So I'm playing with Isaac in the living room or whatever. And I wasn't even old at the time, but I got hurt like I was because I was on the ground, sitting on the ground. And then when I went to get up, I went to get up, and then I kind of just put my arm back to kind of push myself off of a chair. There was no chair there. So I went, leaned back, and then just fell. And I can't remember how I landed, but whatever I did, my knee bent the way that it's not supposed to bend, right? And it bent out. And it hurt so bad. And I'm sitting there holding my knee. Isaac's just running around playing with the ball, doesn't care. And then Jay, like, comes down, and he's, like, intern boss Jay at the time, and I just hurt my knee. And he's like, all right, let's go. I'm ready. And I was like, Jay, I just hurt my knee. It's a long story. I just need a second. Like, I got to figure this out. Couldn't walk on it. Really hurt. So then Pastor Jay was like, all right, let's pray for healing then. And then I remember he looked at Isaac and goes, Isaac, come on. We're going to pray for David's knee. And then Isaac ran over and put both of his hands on my knee. At the time, he was so small that both of his hands fit on my knee. And I remember we prayed, really simple prayer, and then my knee just went numb. Like, I couldn't feel any pain. I couldn't feel anything good in it, but it just went numb. And I was like, this is good enough to walk on. Let's go. So we got in the car. It was numb for the entire four-hour car ride. And by the time we got there and I got out, my knee felt completely fine. And so that was a time where it was like, I recognized that people hadn't even had a moment or a shard of doubt in their mind that God was going to heal in that moment. Now, God, wait, I spoke about this the last time I was up here, but I truly believe that it's important for us to know God and be familiar with him, not just because we are supposed to trust in him, but when it comes to praying for the things in our life, we are to pray according to his will. Everybody say, according to God's will. Okay, good. You're with me. It's important to know that because we don't treat God like a genie in a bottle that just kind of grants whatever wish or prayer that we have, right? He answers our prayers according to his will. And the beautiful thing about that is both of these stories, honestly, pretty minor, but both of them is a moment of realizing that he is an intimate father that cares for us. It doesn't matter if I own an iPod or not. God probably doesn't care that I own an iPod or if I lost it, but he does care that he knows that I know that he is a good father. And so him doing something that small can completely change the dynamic and my perception of who he is in my life. He probably doesn't care because I didn't tear my ACL or anything crazy like that, but he didn't care probably in the moment if I just slightly hurt my knee and we're about to go on a car ride, but he did care that I knew he was my healer. You see the difference there? And so I encourage you that if you're not sure if you know the Lord or if you're not sure if you trust in the Lord in whatever aspect of your life, that he has more and more to show you. He has more to show you to the point where you have not yet experienced the best that God has for you in your life. You have not yet experienced God being able to be that provider for you, that healer. Maybe you have to a certain extent, but I truly believe that if you're not sure if you trust the Lord with things, if you're not sure if it's really costing you anything right now to follow the Lord, the encouragement is that you have more of the best life that God can provide for you to experience by trusting in him. You guys are with me, right? That makes sense. Okay, good. Good, good, good. All right. Well, I actually am at the end of my message. I preach next week, and for those who don't know, I am very used to going way over. And so I'm putting a pause here before we move on to next week's message, but it does have to do with trusting in the Lord. And today, I do still want to pray for you guys. And so, I don't know, did you guys want to come up and play a little bit? And then we can go into a time of prayer. I'm just going to continue using this mic for now. And so I'm actually glad we're doing this right now. Something that is happening every single week, this will not change with groups, is that we have our worship and prayer service. How many of you guys have ever been to our worship and prayer service? Just curious, show of hands. Worship and prayer happens every single Wednesday night from 7 p.m. until whenever we want. It's advertised as 7 p.m. till 9 p.m. Sometimes it's shorter, sometimes it's longer. And the reason for that is that we are opening the stage and the atmosphere in the room for God to be able to do what he wants to do. This is a time at worship and prayer when we are actively first worshiping him and then in reaction to that, being able to respond to the Lord for whatever he's doing. And it's kind of a time where we've realized that I don't know, the last couple times there was just kind of times of worship happening, and we just felt there was more that the Lord wanted to do. And so as a staff, as pastors on staff, something that we've been meeting about, being very open about, something we've been praying about, is that we would have more opportunity for ministry time, that we would have more opportunity for the Lord to do what he wants to do within our services, not outside of it, not planning, you know, an outreach event where it specifically can happen, but in every aspect of when we gather together, that we're gathering together because the Lord is there. And we're not just sitting in his presence waiting for something to happen. We are actively participating in it. And so I would encourage you now that this is a perfect time for that. We're not at football season yet. Nobody should be rushing out. We're ending earlier than we normally do. But this is a time that I think that we're going to enter into a closing time of worship. And I would encourage you to sit in this time and hear from the Lord. And while that's happening, we are going to have people up here available to pray for you. And my one question, not guilty or not condemning, nothing like that, it's do you trust the Lord? And I feel like if there's any aspect of your life where you don't trust him, whether that's your finances, your healing, whatever it may be, I would encourage you to come up for prayer. And what we'll do is we pray that the Lord would show himself in a new way to you. We pray that the Lord would be faithful in that specific area of your life, wherever you feel you're not trusting him. Can we do that? So let's stand together. We're going to start with prayer. Again, we're going to open up a time of prayer in just a second where you guys can come forward. But I'm going to pray for us quickly. We'll enter into this time of worship, and then I'll encourage you guys to come up if you need prayer. But Father God, I thank you that you are faithful. Above all else, Lord, that you are faithful. You're the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. God, I thank you that that's just, I had a revelation of that scripture the first time I ever read it, Lord, because the same God that I read about in the Word that does these miraculous miracles and all these crazy stories we hear in kids' church where we just can't even fathom that happening sometimes, that same God is the same God that we worship and talk to right now. You are the same God yesterday, today, and forevermore. And so every aspect of our life where we feel it's an obstacle that we can't get over, we need you in, Lord, it's nothing to you. It's not intimidating at all to you. That you want to be that good father that steps in the small times, like losing something as trivial as an iPod, but also stepping in the big areas where we feel like we are at rock bottom or lost without you. That you would come in that moment. But Lord, in order for that to happen, we know that we need to trust you. And so Lord, we are just standing here and being a people opening up our hearts to you where we may have put up walls or guards before and just say that we trust you, Lord. Lord, we're trusting you with our time right now, our attention, and our hearts. So God, I pray that you would just speak to us in this moment. Lord, you know how we hear best. You know the best way to speak to us. And I pray you would do that for each and every single person in the room. Since you are a personal, intimate God, and a loving father, God, we open up this time for you to be exactly that for us. But God, we just want to start by worshiping you first. And so, Lord, I pray you would just take advantage of this moment as we lift up our song of praise to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
I just felt led to sing this song with you guys. You guys can go ahead and sit. Just focus on the Lord and his love for us. Your love, oh Lord, reaches to the heavens. Your faithfulness stretches to the sky. Your righteousness is like the mighty mountains. yes. Your justice flows like the ocean's tides. I will lift my voice to worship you, my King. I will find my strength in the shadow of your wing. Your love, O Lord, reaches to the mountain. Your faithfulness stretches to the sky. Your righteousness is like the mighty mountain. Your justice flows like the ocean tide. I will lift my voice. I will lift my voice to worship you, my King. I will find my strength in the shadow of your wing. I will lift my voice to worship you, my King. I will find my strength in the shadow of your wing. And your love, O Lord, it reaches to the mountain. Your faithfulness, yeah, it stretches to the skies. Thank you, Lord. Can we just thank the Lord for his love? That there is nowhere we can run, there's nowhere we can hide, there's nowhere we can go where his love is not available. So Lord Jesus, we put our trust in you, our full heart and our full allegiance to you, Lord. Because you are worthy, you are trustworthy, Lord. You're trustworthy, Lord, and you are faithful, Lord. Let's go ahead and stand together. Let's just sing to the Lord. You are holy, oh, so holy. You are holy, Lord of all. And you are holy, oh, so holy. You are holy, Lord of all. Come on, say you are holy, Lord. You are holy, oh, so holy. You are holy, Lord of all. You are holy.
so holy.
You are holy, Lord
of all.
Above all things, you are the first, Lord. You
are holy.
Oh, you're holy.
Oh, so holy.
You
are holy, Lord of all.
Father God, we thank you for being holy. Lord, we just declare that you are holy in this place. God, I pray that you would just continue to work on our hearts as you have this morning, throughout the day, throughout the week, whatever it may look like. But Lord, I pray that you would take advantage of the time that we are so intently giving you. God, I thank you for being faithful. I thank you for being holy. I thank you for being gracious. But Lord, we open up our hearts for seeds to be planted right now, whether that comes from your word, whether that comes from a time of worship as we're in, or a time of prayer. Lord, I pray that we would just continue to soften our hearts right now in this moment and just allow you to speak to us. Allow the seeds to be planted as something that we are asked to steward over, as we are asked to water, God. And just watch those seeds grow as we just give attention to what you are doing in our lives. Give attention to what you are trying to speak. Lord, I just pray right now. I just sense that there's somebody that, whether they know it or not, or whether they recognize it or not, just believes a lie that they have a difficult time hearing your voice. Maybe that's been a reality for them. Maybe it's been a reality that they've never heard your voice, Lord. They've never heard you speak to them. But I still just am standing in prayer with them and declaring that that is a lie. Lord, that your word speaks true, it speaks strong, and that you speak directly to them. God, even if we've never heard your word audibly or in our head or whatever it may be, God, I thank you that your word is active, living, and available for us. All we have to do is open up your word. Just go to our Bible, whether it's in our app or a book or whatever it may be, God, we can find your voice speaking directly to us. But would you speak to us now? Would you speak to us in this moment as we're opening up our hearts to be a good soil for you to plant something there, God? Whether it be a word or encouragement or whatever it may be, God, would you just speak to us now in this moment? In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, we encourage you guys in this moment, because we are very much so in this moment still, to come forward for prayer if that's something you feel led to do. And we will pray that he will be stepping in those areas of him asking you to trust him, whether that's with your finances, your health, or whatever it may be. This is the time to receive that prayer. If there's anything else you need prayer for, we obviously will pray for that as well. But I would encourage you guys, you will be dismissed here. But don't leave this moment. Don't leave this moment if it feels like something that the Lord's calling you to. Make sure to come up for prayer, okay? And then we would just ask that anybody else that is leaving or wrapping up or fellowshipping, you can do that, but we would just ask that you would kind of respect the atmosphere of what's happening up here in that moment. But otherwise, you guys are dismissed. Have a great week. Love you guys. And 1 second. All right, anybody that is in a season of life where you're entering into college, please come up for prayer. All right, you guys are dismissed. Have a great week. Love you guys, and see you next week.